2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. High on the Hill, 2022. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's rare that I would say that a political speech, the speaker knocks it out of the park. It's a grand slam. But I'd give Speaker Wilson's least opening portion of his speech a solid double. You know, it was a stand-up double.
Why did you like it? Because I think a lot of people were listening to it and saying, there's a big elephant in the room that nobody seems to be talking about.
Well, he addressed
it. About COVID.
Yeah, he addressed it. And again, this is the opening day of the legislative session, so you're not going to expect a speech that's written specifically about COVID. There's a lot of issues that are challenging our state right now, and he addressed it. We've depleted hospital capacity, he said, right out of the gates. There are supply chain shortages and the issues. We're having arguments over government mandates that... There's a shrinking Great Salt Lake that is disappearing before our eyes. Gas prices go up and down, mainly up. Inflation is at a 40-year high, and the housing market in Utah and other states, but let's face it, we need to address Utah housing prices immediately and supply, is problematic. And he also said, you know, look, reminded us we are in a mega drought. So that's where I felt that he addressed the elephant in the room. Yeah, not in depth, but at least said, hey, look, we have depleted hospital capacity. It doesn't get any worse than that.
Yeah, acknowledging it, recognizing there is a problem is profoundly unfulfilling. Like, it's very hard to listen to somebody say, yep, there's a problem. Okay, well, what are the solutions? And maybe this isn't the time, maybe this isn't the place. But it kind of is the time and the place, right? This is your initial, this is your introduction. And people are looking for answers. And we're looking to leaders for answers. And I think that's where I would like to have heard, okay, well, this is what we can do. This is what we can't do.
And that's why I gave him a stand-up double. Because then he went on to say Utah is not a nanny state.
Yes.
Speaking of mandates, let's listen into part of his speech on the first day of the legislative session.
The Utah way demands we exercise wisdom and that we use the resources we have to improve the lives of the people of our state. Each of us has been elected by our neighbors and our friends to drive up here today so we can make decisions that determine what Utah's shared future looks like. As I've worked with you over the years, I've seen how deeply you understand this responsibility and how hard you work to serve the communities and the state that you love. I also want to add to the list some things that the Utah way is not. It is not government overreach. It is not a nanny state. And it surely is not high taxes or burdensome regulation that saps the energy of our industrious people.
And one of the things, and this is something that his colleague, Stuart Adams, President Adams, had talked about, was part of the reason we're struggling in these ways is the federal government is restricting us. Like right now, if you're worried about gas prices, if federal regulations were eased, then we could alleviate some of that. We could produce the gas. We could make it easier to find affordable gas, not just here in the state of Utah, but in the country.
He says Utah's not a nanny state. Let's think back to just last week when I felt Utah was a nanny state, a nanny over school boards, basically making them jump through hoops in order to revert to back to online learning. when we had cases of COVID spinning up in classes to the point where we just didn't have enough tests or resources to get health officials there to test the kids so they could stay in school or be sent home because they tested positive. How did they, you know, they come back in on Thursday afternoon after we've got all of these issues at the school, Dave, and they remove all of these rings of fire that school boards have to jump through. And then immediately you see the Salt Lake City School District and the Granite School District say, okay, we're going to go online and take a vote to go online. So we aren't a nanny state. Well, we are when lawmakers want a nanny and oversee locals, the mayors, the school boards, and they want to administer authority over local control.
Part of the problem, I think, has been we've relied so much on government to tell us what we can and can't do instead of giving us some really good options to make our own decisions. Let me give you an example. Had the government, and I can blame the federal, state, local, whoever it might be, had they taken testing much more seriously like they do in Europe. I think of Germany specifically, where you can basically, for a dollar, get a test. I think had we a stack of COVID tests in our cabinet, whenever we had the sniffles, whenever we felt sick, and we were able to test ourselves,
you're right,
and not look to the government, mm-hmm, not look to a certain place where I've got to take some time off of work and drive over and sit in a line for 8 hours, possibly. We've had reports of that. Then this would have been an easy solution. You and I would be great examples, right? If we tested positive for COVID in our house, I would like to think that you and I are responsible enough to stay home.
Yeah, I'd take a sick
day.
I think
that is the vast majority of Utahns. If you gave us the opportunity to test ourselves, then we would make the right decision. But instead, when we all have to go through the government, you know, the county health department, and they track us and they track all of our friends, people are choosing not to get tested.
Excellent points, Dave. President Stuart Adams began, at least the portion that we were able to dip into live, because those speeches seem to be going simultaneously. President Stuart Adams of the Senate said, look, 2022, it's the year of the tax cut again.
You may remember last year, I declared 2021 as the year of the tax cut. Well, 2022 is the year of the tax cut again, but it will be larger this time. We can and will cut taxes and continue to fund education at historic levels again.
Cutting taxes, that's music to a lot of people's ears. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if we're talking about business taxes, corporate taxes, personal taxes, income taxes. I mean, I've been taxed 1,000 ways to Sunday. Are we talking about property taxes?
Mm.
You know, like where are these coming from, and will it make a difference?
So basically, you have to stay tuned, Dave.
I guess so.
This session is 45 days long. You'll hear lots of coverage. Our team of reporters and producers, eyes fixated on Capitol Hill, covering all of the big issues that affect your family over the next 6 weeks.
Dave and Dujanovic.
This is how to use KSL all morning long.
We have the top stories mornings from 5 to 9.
And now, Dave and Dujanovic talk about those stories from 9 all the way to noon.
More time with Dave and Debbie
on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor.
Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.